So that's page 472, Psalm 49, beginning at verse 1. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches? Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. I'm going to pray now. Dear Lord, our Father, as Ollie comes to preach your word to us, please open our hearts and our minds to receive your word by your Holy Spirit. Please speak through Ollie so that we can go away knowing more of the Lord Jesus and knowing more of your character, we pray. Amen. Thanks, Ollie.
Well, thank you very much for coming and spending your lunchtime with us. It's wonderful to be with you again. Please keep Psalm 49 open, and you'll also see on the back of the sheet you were given on the way in an outline of where we'll be going, which may help you to follow along. Right, okay, everyone listen to me. Whoever you are, I don't care. What I have to say is so important, you must listen. Whether you think you're the richest person here, or the most broke, whether you're from Africa or Asia or Europe or America, whether you're a man or a woman or a partner or a paralegal, whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, an atheist, whoever you are, it makes no difference. You must listen to me because I have such wisdom to share, you dare not miss out. Now, I don't start like that because I'm up myself. I start like that because that's how the Bible passage we're looking at today begins. Look down to verse 1. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. It's a big, bold opening, isn't it? But why must we all listen? Well, look at verse 3. My mouth shall speak wisdom. Verse 3. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. So these words originally were a song, but I thought it would be a bit awkward to sing to you this lunchtime. But what we are going to hear, verse 3 if you look down, is wisdom and understanding. And that will, if you look at verse 4, address a proverb and answer a riddle. And the issue they're going to answer, the wisdom that these words have, concerns something we all care about. We say that it talks, we say it's power, we say it makes the world go round. These words are about money. And the particular issue, point one on your sheets, that these words address It's to do with being intimidated and tempted by wealth. Just look at verse 5 of the psalm. Verse 5, this guy says, "Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches." And so this guy is at one end of the money spectrum. And verse 5, he speaks of getting trouble and being cheated by people at the other end of the money spectrum. People who, verse 6, have abundant riches and wealth. And in your office or wherever you work, no doubt you're surrounded by people who either have money and flaunt it, or want money and work for it. And so I'm sure that you too, like me, can sometimes be, like this guy, point one, intimidated or envious of those with wealth. This week there's a story in the news, this guy called Aaron Walshaw, he's 32, he won £1 million on Lotto. You hear that kind of thing, you think, oh, that'd be nice. Just imagine getting £1 million overnight. And it's easy to see why, isn't it? Because in many ways, money really is power. Money really does talk. Just look back at verse 5 again. This guy has trouble from people cheating him. But hey, if he had enough wealth, I'm sure he could pay one of you guys to go after the cheats and get his money back. And it's not just in trouble that money makes things happen. If we're bored, money entertains us. You can go out and get tickets for something. You watch a film. You have a holiday. Or if you're feeling a bit insecure in life, money maybe gets you a more secure home or a place in a better place, a better part of London. Or money gives you long-term security. You invest into a pension and cover your old age, or put up some savings in case you lose your job. And then money can get your kids an education if you have them, so that they get a better job and get even more of all those things. Money is power. It enables us to do stuff. And so if we don't have it, we may feel like we want it. And if we do have it, we can feel good about it. And why wouldn't we when it does so much? And no wonder this guy, like us sometimes, is intimidated and tempted by wealth. I won't try and pronounce his name, but the grandson of the founder of Red Bull is wanted in Thailand because 5 years ago he hit and killed a policeman while speeding in one of his Ferraris. They know that it was his car, they can prove that he was driving, but he's been untouchable by the courts because he has paid the family of the dead guy $100,000, a small change to him, it's a fortune to them, in return for them not pressing charges. Money is power. But in these words from the Bible, God says to us this lunchtime that wealth is actually rubbish. Wealth is actually rubbish. But how can we say that when we've already seen that money makes things happen? Well, the reason comes in two parts. And firstly, point two on your sheets. Because wealth cannot prevent death. Look down at verse 7 of the psalm. Verse 7. "Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit." In 2017, the Qatari government allegedly paid $1 billion to free 28 members of a royal hunting party who had been kidnapped in Iraq. You can buy your way out of just about anything if you have enough money, except when it comes to death. Death is the one thing wealth cannot prevent. In the film Titanic, Cal, he's the bad guy marrying Rose. He makes a deal with one of the officers to get into a lifeboat. But later on, there's this scene where the officer pushes him back. Cal says, "We had a deal, damn you." To which the officer says, "Your money can't save you any more than it can save me." And ultimately, that is true for all of us. Because whether you were a third-class passenger who died on the ship or a first-class passenger who survived and lived to be 100, no one, look back at verse 9, no one can live on forever and never see the pits. Jesus once told a story about a mega rich bloke who stored up wealth for his retirement, but then died suddenly in the night. Jesus asked, "What can a man give in exchange for his soul?" To which verse 7 of our passage answers, look down, "Nothing. No man can ransom another," verse 7, "or give to God the price of his life." So first part of his reason why wealth is pretty rubbish, because wealth can't prevent death. But maybe you're thinking, look, isn't that just stating the obvious? And we may not like to think about death, but if we do, it's obvious everyone dies. Sure, money can't prevent death, but we've already seen there's loads of things money can do. And for most of us, death is probably ages away, and money is really useful here and now. To enjoy life and get holidays and get a house or get a bigger house or pay someone to iron your shirt so you have more time to do what you want to do. How can we say that it's pretty rubbish? Well, having reminded us that wealth can't prevent death, the second part of this guy's reasoning is to say, remember too that death ends everything. So we try to ignore it by focusing on smaller things that we think we can fix. But if you think about it, death really is by far the biggest issue humanity faces. Just think about it. Climate change may affect future generations. Death ends every generation. AIDS may be enveloping some parts of the world. Death envelops every country. Heart disease may end many people each year. Death ends everybody. A death is not some faraway footnote that I don't need to think about, because everything we could gain during our life, everything we achieve or amass or own, is lost in death. Just look down to verse 10 of the psalm. Verse 10. He sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. So you can achieve loads or nothing, be a good guy or a bad guy, rich or poor, you'll still die, and everything will come to an end. Look at verse 11. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. So this week, TfL renamed Southgate Station in honour of the great Gareth. For 48 hours. What an honour, you think. But then can you imagine having a country named after you? That must have been one of the biggest things you could achieve. You may have heard of a guy called Cecil Rhodes. He had Rhodesia named after him. But where is it now? It doesn't exist. All Cecil Rhodes has left, if you look at verse 11, is a grave somewhere. That's the only bit of land any of us get to keep. But even our graves are pretty meaningless after a while. I go and look around an old graveyard somewhere. They meant so much, didn't they, when they were first laid. I just think there would have been family and friends people leaving flowers and weeping. Now they just lie cracked and covered in moss. And forgotten, and the names are wearing away. Death is not some far-off minor detail that you don't need to worry about. Death is the issue, isn't it? The unavoidable issue that brings everything crashing down. A few years ago, my wife and I went to Brno in the Czech Republic. And in Brno, there's this incredible church building where the crypt underneath naturally mummifies bodies. It was kind of fascinating and amazing and weird all at the same time. And so when people died, they would lay them out on the floor or in a coffin. And the airflow and the humidity meant they didn't decay but were preserved. And in one room were the great and good of the city, nobles and great ladies, the rich and powerful in ornate coffins, still with the remains of great clothes and jewelry around them. And then next door were the monks laid out in their simple brown robes. And on the wall were written these words: "Thus passes the glory of this world." And underneath it said, "What you are, we were. What we are, you will be." Wealth cannot prevent death, and death ends everything. And so just think about it. Wealth gives an answer to loads of things that might happen in life, but it gives no answer to the one thing that will happen. We spend so much time and energy and money trying to protect ourselves, whether at work or at home, from all sorts of risks, most of which will probably never happen. But wealth does nothing to protect us from the one trouble we will all definitely face in the end. Wealth looks like it does so much, but actually does so little. And so everything else money does becomes pretty futile. It leaves us, if you look down to verse 12, "Man in his pomp," verse 12, "will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish." Just think, if this life is all there is, if wealth and power and comfort and pleasure and more meaningful things like family and relationships are all life is about, well, if you stand back far enough and open your eyes wide enough, we're no different really to the animals. We're here, life happens, everything means so much, and then we die and we're gone. And maybe we're remembered by a few people for a bit and then forgotten. In the novel Robinson Crusoe, there's a point just after he's shipwrecked and is salvaging the ship. And he says this: "I found about 36 pounds in money, some European coins, some Brazilian, some pieces of eight, some gold, some silver. I smiled to myself at the sight of this money. Oh, drug, said I aloud, what are you good for? You are worth nothing to me. I have no manner of use for you. Remain where you are and go to the bottom as a creature whose life is not worth saving." In the grand scheme of things, when we reach the end of our lives, like shipwrecked Robinson Crusoe, we will have no use for money. It cannot prevent death, and death ends everything. And so if we live our lives thinking we need more money, or live feeling good because we think we have money, then God's blunt verdict on us is verse 13. Verse 13, "This is the path of those who have foolish confidence." You know the phrase, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic? It describes giving time to something that is ultimately futile. Well, that phrase could describe trying to get wealth for the things that it will get you in this life. Things may look better or worse for a bit, but it's all going down in the end. Wealth can't prevent death. Death ends everything, and there's nothing we can do about it. Look down at verse 14. Verse 14, "Like sheep, they're appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd." Sheol there is the place of the dead. And verse 14, death is like a shepherd who will make sure we make our appointment with him. People are like sheep grazing in the pleasant fields of life 1 minute, thinking stuff is great, amassing all these things, and then snap, death takes them. Wealth can't prevent death, and death ends everything. So wealth is rubbish. But I guess you didn't come here today to get depressed. And actually, God didn't give us these words just to make us miserable. God has given us this honest wake-up call so that we see wealth for what it really is. So that we are ready to hear the incredible hope of verse 15. Look down verse 15. "But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me." God brings us down to earth in this psalm Because he wants to replace the foolish confidence with something far more solid. Because point three on your sheets, and here is the very good news. God will receive me beyond death. Just look back to verse 7 up the page. Verse 7. No man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. But verse 15. God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. God offers this world hope beyond death. God offers rescue from death. But how is that possible? Well, the reason we die, God says, is because of what the Bible calls sin. And because that means we put ourselves in charge of our lives, and we reject God as the one in charge. And the punishment that we all deserve by ourselves is death, both in this life and in an eternity under God's judgment. God is the giver of life, but we by nature live our lives with our backs turned to him. And so rightly, he takes life from us. But this guy knows that doesn't have to be the end of the story. And the hope that he sees from a distance back here in the Psalms comes into full view as Jesus Christ came into this world. On your sheet, you'll see I've put some words Jesus said from Mark chapter 10. Jesus said once, talking about himself, he said, "The Son of Man," that's himself, "came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Each of us by nature deserves death because of our sin. And so even if we amassed all the wealth in the world, we could not ransom ourselves. But Jesus is the one man who did not deserve death. And he died in our place so that if we ask him, we can be forgiven. Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're just listening in. You could ask him even today. And so, more than that, Jesus rose from being dead to being alive again, defeating the power of death. So that as this psalm looks forward, those who put their confidence not in wealth that we think brings security, but put our confidence in Jesus instead, will, as verse 15 of this psalm says, be received by God, welcomed beyond death into an eternal, secure, perfect new world where death will be gone forever. If you only look at the next 5, 10, 30 years, wealth looks pretty good. But God says, don't be so short-sighted. Wealth cannot prevent death, and death will end everything. And so finally, point four on your sheets. God says, so do not live for wealth. This guy started like we so often are, intimidated and envious of those who have wealth and the power it brings. But look where he's got by verse 16. Verse 16 he says, "Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers who will never again see light." He says, don't be intimidated by those around you with money or power. They may be loved by everyone else. They may be the people everyone in the office looks up to and wants to be. Tell yourself again and again, they will keep none of it. And don't be tempted to try and join them. Don't make work about always getting more, achieving more, earning more. When time comes for your appraisal, don't think the one thing I must do, the most important thing, is to increase my pay. Don't live your life storing up wealth. God says, don't be so short-sighted to put your confidence where everyone else does. God says it's a foolish confidence. Because when you look at the big picture, when you take the whole of life and death into account, wealth is a rubbish investment. Money has no answer to the biggest issue we will ever face. The one issue we will certainly face. Just over near Bank, there's a plaque marking the birthplace of a poet called Thomas Gray, whose most famous poem is called Elegy Written in a Country Churchyard, which includes these lines. The boast of heraldry, the pomp of power, and all that beauty, all that wealth ever gave, awaits alike the inevitable hour. The paths of glory lead but to the grave. Heraldry, pomp, beauty, wealth, glory. It can do nothing when death comes, and it will all be gone when death comes. But the hope of this psalm, the hope that Jesus offers us and this world, is verse 15. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Let me close in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of your voice. Thank you that you speak truth to us. Thank you so much for waking us up to the emptiness, ultimately, of living for wealth. We thank you so much that you have given us something so much better through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we here would not be those who are intimidated and envious of the world around us, but would live for what you have given us in Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.